Bless you, saints. Let's stand. This is 160 in your hymn book.
Oh, time is filled with swift transition, and naught of earth stands. Just build your hopes on things eternal. Oh,
Why don't you turn around and greet your neighbor this morning?
Bless you. Good to be in church again this morning, and certainly had a good time here Wednesday night. Presence of the Lord just so strong. If you missed it, then you missed it is all I can say. But amen. But it was certainly wonderful to be here and be in His presence. But we need Him again this morning.
Amen.
Amen. He promised whoever two or three were gathered in His name that He'd be in our midst. So we're expecting Him to be here this morning. Amen. Want to make a few announcements. We'll be having a baptismal, Lord willing, Sunday evening, October the 15th. So remember that. If you or anyone that you know wants to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that'd be a good time to do it. Sunday evening, October the 15th, at the end of the evening service here. And then we'll be having a youth Bible study this month. It'll actually be on a Friday, October the 27th, from 7:30 to 9:30. Brother Daniel Andes will be speaking to the young people during that time. And then any of you with young children here this morning, you may have noticed we're doing some work here. That we've contracted a company to come in and add some extra parking for us. It's a good problem to have, but we run out of parking and run out even when we park over at Abersol's. They've been nice enough to let us park there, but we're even running out of that a lot of times and having to pull people on the grass. And so we know with the weather beginning to change and get colder and potential snows and wet grass and things like that, it's going to be difficult to do that. So we're adding some parking, Lord willing. As of right now, though, they're in the middle of that, so there's a lot of gravel and mud and things like that. So you parents are responsible to keep your children out of the mud so that they don't ruin their clothes and track it in your car or in the church or whatever. So please keep them out of the mud and gravel for a couple services here until we get it actually paved. And we got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. The Harambassic family, they're traveling. The Nicholson family, they're traveling. The Duval family is traveling. Part of the Hamby family is traveling. So we want to remember them all in prayer for traveling mercies. The Lord just protect them and be with them. Sister Patty Hansel, she's traveling to visit her aunt in Tennessee. They don't expect her aunt to live much longer due to declining health. So I want to remember her in prayer for traveling mercies and her aunt and the family in prayer as well. We know the Lord's able to move on the scene and touch her and heal her. So we just want to remember that situation in prayer. Also, my grandniece, Peyton Bryant, she's having what they call a swallow test done on Monday in Philadelphia to see how she's able to swallow on her own. So please pray that that goes well. And Sister Embry, she's had a knot on her side that the doctors say is cancer, but she's not claiming it. She went in and they said, I believe you say it was 20 years ago, Brother Japheth. 20 years ago, they said she was diagnosed with cancer. And they said, what did you do? Did you have chemo treatments or what did you do? And she said, no, I was healed. And so, amen. We're believing that she's healed again because it's already paid at Calvary. The price has been paid. So want to continue to remember her in prayer that the Lord will just move on the scene. I think they did a biopsy of that and they'll have the results back. So we're just believing that all is well. And she wanted to thank the church for our prayers. And Sister Laura Prakash, she's having back pain and allergies this morning, so I want to remember her in prayer. And want to continue to remember Joshua Southworth from Colorado, the 17-year-old boy that was injured and broke his neck. And we just know that the Lord's able to move on the scene in that situation. We've seen him move on the scene before. Brother Joel was telling me, I think I may have mentioned it before, that he had the exact same injuries basically that this young man did when he was in a car wreck at the age of 17, broke his neck in the same places, and the doctor said he probably wouldn't live and that he'd never walk, but God had a different plan.
Amen.
Amen. So we know that God's got it all in control. Also want to continue to remember Brother Mike Eplin, that the Lord will just give him a complete healing. Amen. We're believing with him. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you come this morning, lead us in a word of prayer? Good to see Sister Gloria slip in back there. I didn't know she was in town, but good to see you. Amen. This is her home away from home, so good to have her with us.
God bless you, saints. Just a quick testimony before I pray. Last week, we had a little prayer request for my cousin's son, little Austin, who was having open heart surgery, and I'm glad to say that he came through it fine and is doing a lot better, so I just wanted to thank the Lord for that. And if we had time, I'm sure there's testimonies all across the building. The Lord's been so good to us, and we know we have requests now, and we know where to go, so let's just bow together and take it to him. Lord Jesus, Sunday school today, we were talking about the seven church ages and how in Revelations there you describe it as calves in the stall. Lord, just thinking about that, a calf doesn't have to worry when it's in the stall. It's got a roof over its head. It's got feed that's given to it. Lord, if we were just out in the field, out tossed around by the storms of life, we wouldn't know what to do, Lord, but you've provided a place for us, a stall for us to be. You give us the word, the spiritual food. You give us physical food. You give us so many things, Lord, that we don't deserve in our own. But Lord, you loved us and you provide for us. And Lord, now your children are hungry this morning, both spiritually hungry, Lord, but also physically with different needs. The brother that, little Joshua, that's got his neck broken, and Lord, we can look and see people like Brother Joel who've come through that. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd go and minister to him now. We know you've paid the price and nothing's too big for you. So we ask, Lord, as your body, that you would go and you would minister unto him. For the other requests, the little child, a relative of Brother Nathan's, Lord, we know when you were on the earth, you said, let the little children come unto me. Lord, we're your body on the earth. And so we're asking you to go and minister to that child. And the other requests, Lord, people in the congregation that need a job or financial relief or different things, Lord, we know that our trust is in you and that you're our provider. Now we just welcome you to this service, Lord, that you'd come and open up the word. Lord, we have a lot of good things in our life, houses, cars, but all that passes away. But we know we have your promise that heavens and earth will pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. Lord, help that word to drop into our hearts and become a part of who we are. Lord, if we're missing something, if we're doing something wrong, just reveal it to us by the word and we'll be quick to repent and to change, Lord. Thank you so much for great brothers and sisters here. We just welcome you and we want to worship you together in spirit and truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. This morning we're going to read the 14th and 15th chapters of Psalm. While you're turning, I was just thinking while Brother Steve was praying, I realized something that when Brother Nathan said, how many of you have something on your heart? I just kind of automatic, raise your hand. I stand over here and I thought, well, what was on my heart? I thought, Lord, I didn't even think about it. I just automatically, I thought, forgive me, Lord. Because I've got a lot of things on my heart. I've got family members and that aren't serving the Lord. I've got sick people and different ones I pray for. And I thought, Lord, forgive me for just falling into a habit of raising my hand just because we were asked, instead of thinking, yes, Lord, this is on my heart. This is on my mind. This is my desire. Don't want to get into a habit of just raising my hand just because somebody says, why don't you raise your hand? It's got to be something behind that hand. Amen. I was thinking a couple days ago, I read something online. Sounded real good. I read this real long article by this, I'll call him a brother. I think he was well-intentioned. Taking up a couple of subjects, and he made some comments I didn't appreciate, like how foolish and how silly people were that's been in the message and don't know the answer to these two questions. I thought, well, how blessed you are if you know the answers. But not everybody knows everything.
Right. Amen.
So what he had to say, I read it, and I thought, man, that sounds good. I'd never thought of that, never thought about that. But something wasn't quite right. You ever had that uncertain sound?
Amen.
So I decided the next day, you know what? And that was yesterday, in fact, I think it was. Not feeling good at all, and I'm glad the Lord's touched my body, because I was sick Wednesday night and got healed, and the devil tried to put it back on me yesterday, Friday and Saturday, but we're doing well, so we thank the Lord. But the point was, I started reading. I must have read 300 or 400 quotes on these two subjects. Come to find out, you know what? The brother meant well, and it sounded good, but he didn't take it back far enough into what the prophet said. Because there's too many places where the prophet contradicted the things he was saying. Or let me refer it the other way. He was contradicting what the prophet said. So I told my wife a little bit about it. And I said, he said this and this and this. And all that sounds good. But Brother Bram said this and this and this and this. And that put it in the right balance.
Amen. All right.
So you see, you have to take everything you find the prophet said. Now, he did make a few comments that would have proved, if you want to say that, what this man said. But you got to remember, he's talking about here, he's talking about here, and then he's talking about here.
Right.
So there's a now, there's a millennium, and there's an eternity.
Right.
So you've got to keep those quotes in their right place.
Amen.
So the brother meant well. I'm saying all that for this. Watch that uncertain sound. Don't get it in the habit, I'm going to say it, of taking something just because Brother Nathan says it,
right,
or Brother Hoover says it, or Brother Bird says it, or Brother Layton says it.
Right.
Take it back to the Word.
Amen.
That's my Sunday school for the lesson.
Amen.
Forgive me, Pastor. All right, 14th and 15th, because they're both short, so we're going to read them both this morning. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good.
The Lord looked down from heaven.
They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
And all the workers of iniquity and knowledge, who eat up the old as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord.
There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad.
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?
He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth unto his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. God bless you, church. Please be seated.
If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 229 in your hymn book.
There are some things I may not know. Oh, there are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. Oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folk may doubt, some folk may scorn, but all can come and just leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, and God is real, for I can feel Him in my heart. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed, He's made me whole. His love for me, it's like just how you fell when Jesus took all your sin away. But some folk may doubt, some folk may scorn, but all can go on and just leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, and God is real, for I can feel Him in.
Why don't we stand and sing it to Him this morning?
Flesh and bone. down that lonely path that led to Calvary. And when those red stains, oh, they call, thank you, Lord, since chains, he said, we should be so thankful, church. Thank you, Lord. Sing it this way this morning. Oh, you know I never could quite understand why a king want to leave his throne. Oh, just to dawn that old of an earthly man, feel the pain of flesh and bone, and then to later trot down that lonesome path. He knew it led to fit to kill, but then the man on that middle cross, he put my name in his will. Oh, he said that I
Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning that you're free? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Luke's Gospel. St. Luke, chapter 17. And I want to begin with verse 20. And when we read this first verse, it'll look like it might confuse you and think that it's Wednesday night. But we're not really looking at the Pharisees this morning, but they are involved in this scripture. St. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom should come, I think it's interesting that they demanded him to know when they didn't even really believe in their hearts that he knew what he was talking about. But he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Amen. I thought it was a million miles away somewhere up on a cloud, and we were going to fly off someday. And he said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Now, I've read this, I've known this for years, but when I got to studying this week, the Lord opened up some things to me. I thought, goodness gracious, all these years I've been looking at it from a denominational standpoint. We're guilty of that sometimes. You know, we've been taught tradition so much, even around the message sometimes, that we don't take it back and see what he really said. As Brother Layton was saying this morning, that shouldn't offend you what he said. You know, Brother Hoover, Brother Layton, and myself, and Brother Arnie, we are not your absolute. And if you make us your absolute and you say, "Well, Brother Nathan said it, so that's just the way it is," I appreciate your confidence in me, but I'm not your absolute. Amen. In fact, no man is my absolute. In fact, I know this offends people, but even the flesh of Brother Branham is not my absolute. We looked last week at an absolute, but you know, I don't believe that we make any man our absolute but the man Christ Jesus. But yet God worked through men. Paul said, "You follow me as I follow Christ." It wasn't that Paul's flesh was their absolute. If so, why would he come around and say, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed? Well, if they were just following Paul's flesh, he couldn't have said that. But they weren't following Paul's flesh. They were following his teaching. And his teaching lined up perfectly with the word. So don't make any man your absolute. Don't look at me and say, "Well, this is the way Brother Nathan teaches it, so that's the way it is." You better look and make sure that I know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know, I've heard brothers say, "Well, we don't need to put on a filter." I'm just going to get in trouble already this morning, Brother Hoover, I can tell. People say, I don't put on a filter when I listen to a tape. Well, in one way, that's absolutely true. I don't have to wonder, you know, now is Brother Branham teaching something a little off here? But I do listen to the message with the knowledge that more unfolded as it went along. And when I listen to the Hebrew series and he teaches us that, you know, we were a little cloud when we went over to heaven, Brother Neville, he couldn't shake his hand, he'd be like a little cloud. I don't just come out and teach that to you anymore because there was more that unfolded. Amen. It wasn't that he was wrong. It wasn't that he was teaching in error. It was that portion of the word had not been restored back yet. And who else could restore it but him? When he looks and he begins to look and try to teach the seven church ages in one message, and he says that the white horse rider was Christ, I don't teach that anymore because more unfolded. And he came around and he said that it wasn't Christ. In fact, it was the Antichrist. Right. Amen. I thank God that more unfolded. Now, I don't throw away those tapes from 47 and 49 and 51, but I do listen to them with the understanding of what else that he taught. Yeah. Right. When he says back in the 50s that it was Mary's egg, and then he comes around and he says, "No, it couldn't have been Mary's egg, or you would have had an intimate relationship with her and the Holy Spirit." But he said Christ created both seed and egg. I don't teach that it's Mary's egg anymore. Amen. So we have to listen, even when we're listening to Brother Branham, listen with the understanding of what else was unfolded down here. If not, you get yourself in trouble. I've heard people go back and listen to 70 weeks of Daniel, and they teach it all wrong because they just take what he said in that sermon. They don't take what he taught on further from that, and they get in a mess. There was a brother right here in the city said, well, bless God, over in Clarksville, said it was 7 years, not 3.5 years. Brother Branham was wrong. Well, Brother Branham said, when you say I'm wrong, then I know that you're wrong. Why? Because he was vindicated. Amen. So my absolute is the word of God. Amen. You people divide it and say, well, it's the Bible. No, it's the message. It's the word of God. That encompasses the Bible and the message. Amen. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Let's bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look into your word again this morning, Lord, I just ask you to give us wisdom, give us strength, help us to look past our traditions, help us to look past, Lord, some of the carnal teachings that we've received over the years through men with good intentions, but who are still holding on to denominational ideas. But let us look into the revealed word for this age. May we teach it the way that your prophet taught us, regardless of whether it's popular or regardless of whether it's the mainstream. Father, Lord, sometimes the mainstream is heading you to some rapids and some falls, but Lord, I want to get in the stream of the channel of the Holy Ghost where he would lead me. Many times that's the narrow path or the path less followed, Father, but you said in your word that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that you had for us, and few there would be who would follow. But Lord, I'm so thankful to be part of that despised few that's standing with the word, no matter what comes or what goes, no matter what's popular or unpopular, or whichever way the wind blows. But Father, we're standing with the truth to the best of our ability. Lord, if we're in error in any way, may you show us, Lord, through your word. Teach us where we would be wrong. Lord, help us to have the right attitude. Help us not to think just because you've blessed us, or because you've shown us light in this age. May it not be something that puffs us up to make us think that we're something better than anybody else. Lord, without you, Lord, we wouldn't have a bit more idea than what we were doing. Lord, about anything, Lord, if you hadn't sent a prophet of God, we wouldn't know which way to turn or what way to go. We wouldn't know what way to baptize or what way to teach. But we thank you that you sent us the truth in this age, Father. We love you, Father, and we give you praise and glory for all things that you do, because we know that you do all things well, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Jesus says here in St. Luke that the kingdom of God is within you. Now, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, when he asked the disciples, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you're Elias. Some say that you're the Messiah. Some say you're this. Some say you're that. He said, but who do you say? Who do you say that I am? We could ask people the same thing today. What do you think about the message? Well, some says it's this and some says it's that, but what do you say? Where do you stand this morning? What do you believe? And he begins to ask the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke these words in St. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. In other words, you didn't learn this in a seminary. No message preacher sat you down and explained it to you. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't explain it to you. Your mommy and your daddy didn't tell it to you. It wasn't a flesh and blood affair, but my Father, which is in heaven, he says. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Brother Bram said the Catholics thought it was Peter. And the Protestants, they went on a little further, but he said it was really the revelation of the word. It was the revelation that he would build his church upon. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, he gives him here the keys to the kingdom. And if we're not careful, we begin to picture in our mind that, you know, Peter had this big ring of keys on his side, and you know, he had his house key, and he had his camel key. You know, they didn't have cars back then, but maybe he had a chain that he chained up his camel so that nobody would steal it, like a bicycle, you know, and he had his key to unchain his camel, and he had all these things. But then he had this one great big key on his side that, you know, his left leg kind of dragged along when he walked because the weight of this key was so big, and people would say, "Peter, what is that?" And he'd say, "Oh, that's the key to the kingdom." Yeah, that goes right inside the front gate at the pearly gates, and it opens her up. No, don't get this carnal idea that when Jesus gave him the keys to the kingdom, that it was a literal key, or even that he was talking about the literal gates of pearl or a physical kingdom, because he said the kingdom of heaven, it's not just streets of gold, it's not pearly gates, it's not something way off somewhere, but he said the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, how is he going to give Peter a key to something that can't be seen? How is he going to give him a key to something that he has no lock to be able to put it in the door? Here's exactly how he gave it to him. On the day of Pentecost, he stands up with the key, and it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now he reaches in his pocket, and Jesus had given him this key, but he wasn't exactly sure how to use it and when to use it. But now he recognizes, you know, sometimes you try a key in a door and it may look like your house key, but it winds up being your in-law's house key or your parents' house key or your next door neighbor's house key that they loaned you to keep an eye on their house on vacation. And no matter how hard you try it, it won't fit in that lock. And maybe it even seems like it'll fit, but it won't really click all the tumblers into the right place to turn it. Now, there have been all kinds of ideas down through the ages. The Pharisees had their ideas. The Sadducees had their ideas. Everybody was looking for the kingdom of God and preaching what they thought the kingdom of God would be. But now Peter takes this key out of his pocket and he slides it into place, and every tumbler goes click, 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 click. And he says unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, he's using this key to the kingdom. This was the key to the kingdom. If we're honest with ourselves and we believe it the way that Jesus taught it and the way that we'll look at here in a few moments that Brother Branham taught it, this was the key to the kingdom, that when he says this is the way to receive the Holy Ghost, and Jesus had said the kingdom of God, it's not by, you know, something visual that you see. It's not something that somebody says, "Hey, come over to our church, we've got it. Come over to our move, we've got it. Come over to our doctrine, we've got it." It's not something that they say, "Lo, look here, and lo, look there." It's without observation. You can't see it. You can't put a name tag on it. You can't put a label on it. You can't isolate it to an individual camp or an individual denomination. But he said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." Amen. And now Peter gives him this key. Brother Bram says in Hebrews chapter 7, part 2, 1957, "Where is the kingdom of God? It's within you." That right? The Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. Now, with this key, we're going to look here in a minute. Let's read another scripture, or another quote rather. Questions and Answers, 1954. "What is the kingdom of heaven? The Holy Spirit." Now, I've heard this, Brother Hoover. This isn't something that was a shock to me the other day when I read it. My plan was to get up here and pick up where we left off before I went on vacation, on to be like Jesus. And I began to study that, and I already had a lot of it studied out. And I began to look, and I began to search a few quotes. And, you know, that's usually where I get into trouble, when I begin to search a little bit further. And then God says, "Nope, that's not right. I see something in another quote," and it begins to lead me another direction. And so I begin to search and to study. I started to get pulled off a little bit, and I thought, well, I can't exactly bring it the way that I was going to, because, you know, this just won't fit, and God's leading me this way. And I thought, well, this can still be to be like Jesus, though, and we'll just kind of push these quotes in with these quotes. And the more I studied, the more I realized this isn't going to be like Jesus at all. It's the kingdom of heaven, and so, you know, sometimes God has different plans than what our plans are. And I've heard this my whole life. You know, I've seen this my whole life. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Praise God. That's wonderful. But when you begin to look at it the way that Brother Branham taught it, that the kingdom of heaven is the Holy Ghost, and then you begin to go, and we're not going to read all of them this morning. Maybe you can go home after this service, maybe on Monday afternoon or when you get a chance, and you go up there and you begin to search all the scriptures on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and you begin to look at it in this light, and it begins to open up a whole new plan of God, different than what we thought it was. Wow. Different than what ministers had explained it away on, because we have this key now that the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at a few scriptures here in this light. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I've taught this for years that that just meant to put God first in all that you do. But it's a little bit more than that. The kingdom of the heaven is the Holy Ghost. Uh-huh. Seek ye first the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
all right,
and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, I want to get married. Brother Bam said, that young man that gets married and he's had everything the way that he wants it and his parents have spoiled him, and he said, if he doesn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he will make that woman's life a living hell. That's what Brother Bam said. Why? Because it's two personalities trying to operate and trying to go the same direction, but this personality wants to go this way and say, well, this is the way that mommy cooked it. Well, bless God, this is the way that I cook it. And this personality wants to say, well, this is the way I fold clothes. And this personality over here says, but no, but this is the way that I'd prefer they be folded. And you know, she's ironed clothes a certain way, and his mommy ironed clothes a different way. And, you know, he drives a certain way, and she drives a certain way. And as Brother Hoover said, you know, the other night, he said, Sister Jeannie may not be called to preach, but she was certainly anointed to tell him how to drive the other night. And you know, we begin to run into these things. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost there to keep you tempered and to keep you both going in the same direction, because the Holy Ghost won't lead you and your spouse in two different directions. Amen. Let me just preach to you this morning and say that the Holy Ghost won't lead you and your spouse to go to two different churches. The Holy Ghost won't lead you and your spouse to believe two different things. The Holy Ghost in you won't lead you to stay home and criticize and lead your husband to go to church, or vice versa. The Holy Spirit works the same in one as it works the same in the other. Now, you know, he may lead a family to go to a different church than here. I thank God that he didn't call me to be the pastor to the bride, because I don't have the patience or the ability to do that. He never called me to be the pastor to the whole bride, but yet he has called a group of people here. How do I know? Because I didn't beg them or plead them or persuade them. I don't care what anybody says. You can't bring me one person that I've ever begged or tried to pull or begged to stay, that you can't bring them here. So it had to be God that brought them here. Amen. And if I had, then we would have just pulled people here that didn't really want to be, but, you know, and they would have caused us problems and we would have caused them problems and it would have been a mess. But when God leads you somewhere, God, if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, he's not going to lead you to send your kids to school one place and lead your spouse to send them to school somewhere else. This is why we should seek the kingdom of God first and then let all these other things be added unto us. You say, oh, this is the career that I have planned for my life. Well, you may have that plan, but what if the Holy Ghost has different plans for you? I can tell you with all honesty and sincerity, I did not plan as a little boy to be a pastor in New Albany, Indiana when I grew up. That was not my plan, but the Holy Ghost had a different plan. Amen. I had all kinds of ideas that I thought I might do. I had all kinds of things that I thought I could do. You know, ministering was even one of them. But being a pastor in New Albany, Indiana was not on the list. It wasn't even in the top dozen, or as Brother Furman says, the top 100. It wasn't on the radar. But God had a different plan. Maybe many of you brothers that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, maybe you had plans. Maybe you were going to be a soldier. Maybe you were going to be a firefighter. Maybe you were going to be a policeman. Maybe you had all these ideas. I'm going to go through academy, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go through training, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. And then you got up there, and you couldn't even pass, you know, the test to get into just the regular army, and you recognize God didn't call me to be a Navy SEAL. God didn't call me to pack an 80-pound pack on my back for 40 miles. He didn't call me to do that. You know, it's just not in my nature, Brother Hoover. You know, we joke around about technology and things like that. Brother Branham said, God, you know, he said I could leave the building tonight and walk home, but he said God gave me a car. Amen. So, you know, I'm geared a little bit more that way, you know, than Brother Joel, sometimes he walks home, but he doesn't even live a mile away, I don't think. So I can maybe do that, but not to my house. Amen. So the kingdom of God is within us. Now, when we go to make plans, seek the Holy Ghost first, even if you have the Holy Ghost in your life.
Amen.
We don't just seek him to get him, but then when we get him, we seek him for what direction to go.
Amen.
And many people say, you know, well, I sought the Holy Ghost, I sought God, I sought this. Well, you know, Brother Branham said it was God seeking you, but yet he placed a desire in your heart for you to go seeking after that. He's placed a desire in your heart. It was God reaching out to you, but he placed the desire in your heart to come to an altar. He placed the desire in your heart to begin praying, God, give me the Holy Ghost. But when you got it, we don't just stop there and say, bless God, I've arrived. But then we keep seeking him. God, what should I do? Where should I turn? How should I go? What are you doing? You're seeking the kingdom of God first.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Nathan, I'd like to have this job. I've applied to this school. I'm dating this girl. All these different things, you know. Well, have you sought God first? Have you got the Holy Ghost? Amen. Because I wouldn't recommend that you get married until you get the Holy Ghost, or you'll make that girl's life a living hell, or if she doesn't have it, she'll make yours, and you'll wind up like a lot of these families that they recognize, you know, well, he had cute eyes, and she had beautiful teeth, and you know, whatever it was, and oh my, you know, we like the same kind of music and the same kind of movies, and we like the same type of cheeseburger, and so, you know, we just figured we would spend the rest of our life together. But does she believe the same as you? Does she believe in baptism the same as you? Does she believe in the message? Does she, even if she believes in the message, does she believe in going to church? Does she believe the same doctrines that you believe? Does she stand for the same things? Does she want to send her kids to the same type of school that you do? These are things that we have to seek the Holy Ghost for before we just run and jump. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mark chapter 4, verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now I think it's, you know, just a little bit of God's sense of humor that even this that he's telling them is in a parable, because no doubt they were sitting there thinking about, oh my, it's us to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And he's talking about the pearly gates, and he's talking about the great big streets of gold and all this. And that's not what he was saying at all. He said, it's unto you to know the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but unto them or without, it's all done in a parable. They can't understand, even though I'm speaking plainly to them, they don't have the revelation to receive, but yet there's something down on the inside of you that you don't just take it and say, well, you know, he said that unless we drink, eat his flesh and drink his blood, we don't have any part with him, so I'm out. You know, that this is a cult. I'm done. This is over. I'm not doing that. There was some that just walked away and said, that's fanaticism. There are some that walked away and said, that's demonology. There were some that walked away and said, he's a vampire. But there were others that stuck around and said, there has to be a little bit more to what he's saying than what he's saying. There has to be a little bit more. I don't believe he would say something so radical unless he had a reason for doing it. I believe there's a revelation within the revelation. Now, I know there's many that say, you know, well, we let's just read between the lines. And that's good as long as what's within the lines doesn't contradict what's on the line.
Amen.
I had a brother come up to me a while ago, and he was really pushing that. You know, you got to read between the lines, Brother Nathan. You got to read between the lines. I said, well, that's good. That's all right. But what he was trying to tell me didn't match what was on the lines.
All right.
Amen. I believe in reading between the lines. I believe there's, you know, if we didn't believe in reading between the lines, there's no way that we could have understood that there was a man in the days of the Bible that had a body change so that he and his wife could produce a child. The Bible doesn't say that plainly, but there was a prophet of God that looked by revelation and read between the lines. And now that we look at it, we recognize, you know what? That's exactly what it has to be. There's nothing else that it could be. How else could Abimelech stand there and say, hey, boys, bring me granny. I want her to be my wife. It would be absolutely insane if it wasn't the way that Brother Branham taught it. But yet, that's not plain in the scripture where you can just read it. But it didn't contradict what was in the scripture. It just confirmed what was in the scripture. When you read between the lines and it begins to contradict what Brother Branham said over here and what St. Paul said over there and what Jesus said over here, you're reading between the lines, but you're putting your own agenda in there instead of what the Holy Spirit intended it to be.
Mark chapter 9, verse 1. He said unto them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. Now I want to testify this morning that they absolutely did. Now I know many times Brother Branham takes us to Mount Transfiguration and types it to the second coming, how that they saw in type. I know many times he takes us to the book of Revelations when John the Revelator was there and he saw in type the coming of the Lord and the opening of the seals and he saw these things. Yes, I believe that was part of it, but remember the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost, and they did live to see it. In fact, almost all of these men that were standing there except Judas lived to see the kingdom of God coming in power. It came like a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. And they went around to saying because of this that John wasn't going to ever take a natural physical death until the second coming of the Lord. That's because they read between the lines what they wanted to read instead of actually getting the revelation from the Holy Ghost of what he was talking about.
Right.
There'll be some which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Mark chapter 10 verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. Now I know around the message you've got a lot of theologians that they believe that, you know, you've just got to believe it a certain way, and whatever way they teach it, they do away with experience. They don't think you need an actual baptism of the Holy Ghost. They think it's all an intellectual conception, that if you can just understand the revelation that they're teaching you and what they're trying to get across to you, and you know, and maybe you have to get a college education to even understand the words that they're using, and you have to study, you know, the church age book for about 47 years and look at it sideways with your head tilted to be able to understand how they're trying to twist the quote, and you know, they think that that's how it comes. But Jesus said, unless you can receive it like a little child, unless you can come like a little 8-year-old boy would come and get the Holy Ghost, then you'll never get it. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. We don't receive it because we learned something. We don't receive it because we're educated in the message. We don't receive it because our intellectual conception of it is higher and more detailed than somebody else's. We don't receive it because of our good works or our self-righteousness or anything that we could do on our own. We receive it because we come and we obey the formula that the one that had the key to this kingdom put in the door and turned. He said, repent and be baptized. Oh, and by the way, it's got to be in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
None of this Father, Son, and Holy Ghost title stuff. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall.
Amen.
Not I might. Not, well, you know, if I get a little better understanding of the seven seals, maybe I can. Not if, well, if I sit through about 20 more services and build up enough faith. You come this pattern and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The problem is most of us don't even get past repent. We come and apologize, but we don't repent. Brother Bram said to repent means to change directions. We think repent is to come up and say, I'm sorry. Well, you know, my little boys can get in a fight and maybe Philip come up and punch Nathaniel in the stomach and he can go and tell him, I'm sorry. Well, that doesn't mean very much if he's going to come up the next day and punch him in the stomach again. It can only really truly be received as repentance. That can be received as an apology, even if it was just one that mommy and daddy made him do. It can be received as an apology, but to be received as repentance, there has to be a recognition of a changing of direction.
Right.
That what I used to do, the things that I did in the past, now I press on to the mark of the high calling of God. I no longer do. I forget those things that were in the past.
Right.
I don't do the things I used to do. I don't drink the drinks I used to. I don't smoke the things I used to. I don't live the way I used to. Why? Because there's been a turning of directions.
Amen.
A changing of directions. Not just to walk up and say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Any good Baptist can do that. But St. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, the Baptists teach that, you know, you just receive it when you believe it, but it doesn't stop there. That same doctrine creeps right in around the message. Oh, all you got to do is believe God sent a prophet. That's contrary to the formula.
Amen.
That's contrary to the key that unlocks the door.
Amen.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Let me just say, the way that a lot of message folks have the Holy Ghost figured out, it would be impossible for a little child to enter in. They wouldn't have maybe even the knowledge to be able to read the great Greek words and things that they try to put together. And, oh, it's got to be this way. And it's got to be, you got to take this quote over here. And you got to accept this over here. And what they're really trying to say is, you have to come my way. You have to come my way because this is the way that I think I got it. No, Brother Bam said, away with that. Away with, you know, comparing experience as the towing line. He said, forget that. You don't compare Brother Jimmy's experience with your experience or Brother Hoover's experience with your experience, but you do got to get an experience.
Amen.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. Jesus answered in St. John chapter 3, verse 3, speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now, Brother Bam said this word did not mean to visibly see, you know, like to see the pearly gates or to see streets of gold. It means to understand
right. The
kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He goes on a little further in verse 5 and he says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. His very first doctrine that he preached was, ye must be born again.
Amen.
But if we just take this, if we even just take it the way that some message preachers preach it, then this absolutely means that the foolish virgin and those that are kind to the bride and anybody else that's saved out here in the denominations cannot enter the kingdom of God because they weren't born of water and of spirit. But he's not talking about pearly gates. I just love when God gives you a revelation of something and you see it boom, 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 all the way through the scripture and all these things that you've scratched your head on for years and say, how can this scripture compare with this scripture when it looks like a contradiction? It's because you're using the wrong key.
Right.
Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if he's talking about pearly gates, then that would contradict Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, he didn't get the baptism of the Spirit. He didn't get baptized with water, but Jesus said that they're just kind to the bride. They won't lose their reward.
Right.
Brother Bram teaches this in the Church Age book, and some people say that is Lee Vail's doctrine because they haven't found an exact quote on a tape that goes along with that. But what Brother Bram said in the Church Age book did not contradict the message, nor did it contradict the scripture. In fact, it went right along with it because this scripture right here, he said, if you give one of them a drink of water, it won't be, that reward won't be lost.
Right.
Brother Branham said there'll be multitudes that'll be there that never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He said some of them will come because they were kind to the bride. He said maybe they stood like a Gamaliel or a Nicodemus or a Joseph of Arimathea, that in the time of need they stood up for the bride. In a time of need, when you was down here at the courthouse or when you needed a bank loan or something, they stood up and said, hey, I know this person. I may not agree with them. I may not understand about God sending a prophet, but this person is my neighbor. They're a good, godly person, and I'm standing for them in the time of need. God doesn't turn his head on that and say, just send them to hell. Now, you can't just get in because of, you know, you spent some dollars to help the widow or the church or because, you helped somebody. We don't get in on works, but yet there will be people that'll be there because of their kindness to the bride. But don't go around and say, well, you know, I helped out Brother Hoover, so I guess I'll be there. Well, don't you risk getting in on that, but there will be people there that got in that way. I don't think Gamaliel stood when he stood up there and he said, oh, bless God, here's my ticket right here, boys. He said, listen, I know you all hate this sect of the Christians that are going around and you think they're disturbing things, but he said, I would just like to say, if this isn't of God, you know, there was a man named Judas that he went out and he took a bunch of people out in the wilderness and it was a cult and they all starved to death out there in the wilderness. He said, if this isn't of God, it'll come to naught. If this is just, you know, some defectors making fun on the webpage, you know, that St. Paul said that their folly will be made known and they won't proceed any further. Don't worry about that and waste your time on that. But if it's really of God and we're going to condemn it, then we'll be found fighting against God. That's how I feel about some of these churches around the message. You may not agree with them, You may not be able to go along with them, but you better be careful. If God is there blessing them and you begin to come down on them too hard and say, well, bless God, they haven't got it. If God is with them, even if he's only with two or three there in the building, I believe there's bride all around the world. And you come too hard against that, you'll be found fighting against God. At least Gamaliel had enough sense to do that, not to go and run down everybody else's program. And he said, you know, we don't want to be found fighting against God. Now, I believe Gamaliel really meant this from his heart, and he was really doing this to the best of his ability. We have no record that he ever became a Christian. We have no record that he ever professed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But Brother Branham taught that men like that, men like Joseph of Arimathea, that went and took the body of Jesus Christ down off, and he begged Pilate. He said, let me take the body and bury it. And Jesus didn't have a tomb, so Joseph of Arimathea borrowed him his own freshly built tomb and put him in it. Oh, it was the best thing he ever did. He may have never really truly come out and professed to be a disciple, but Brother Branham said there'd be men like that that stood for the bride in a time of need. That would be there. He said there'd be the foolish virgin that came right up into sanctification and justification, but they never went on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They will never take a rapture, but they'll be over there. There were people that got saved, even out in the denominations, that they just came and they lived all that they saw. And maybe nobody ever handed them a message book. Nobody handed them a tract. Shame on us for not being better witnesses. Well, I believe we'll get there and God will say, why, this guy lived two houses down from you. Why didn't you witness to him? Why didn't you show him something? I'm going to give him eternal life because of your negligence. And I'll say, well, praise God for my negligence, I guess. All things happen according to God's will, but that doesn't give us an excuse to go out. You know, that's what a lot of the Calvinists believe. They said, why even have revivals? Who's going to come is going to come. But how are they going to come unless there's a net tossed out to drag them back?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said, you know, they cast out a net and brought back serpents and frogs, but there were some real good fish that came back in there too.
Right.
There will be multiplied thousands, millions. What about all the little children that died before the age of accountability? Brother Branham taught us they'll be there. They didn't have anything to repent of. They didn't have the knowledge to be able to know what was right and wrong. They didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they'll be there.
Right.
One person finally said, Brother Branham, he said, the way you teach it, how could we even rack all these people in? He said, you couldn't rack them in like cardboard. Well, he didn't realize, you know, part of it, we've got a city that's 15,000 miles high. 1,500, I'm sorry. Brother Branham got it confused, 700, 7,000, so don't be too hard on me. 1,500 miles high by 1,500 miles wide, that's a pretty big room to put them in, and that's just those that's within the city. God, he said, Brother Branham answered him this way. He said, God has ways of doing things. He said, we can speak worlds and go live on them before him. He said, hard to tell where we will be. That's how he answered the man.
Amen.
Hey, man, I don't know. You know, it's not my job to find a place for everybody. God never called me and said, figure out how to get all the unborn children and those that died before the age of accountability. Can you work out a formula, Nathan, and show me, you know, can we build an ark or can we build something that we can fit them all in, all those down through the ages that died before the age of accountability? It's not my responsibility to figure out where he's going to put them and how he's going to put them. And it's my responsibility to believe what he said. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If we take this the way that people teach it, it does away with the foolish virgin. It does away with those born before the age of accountability. It does away with those that was kind to the bride. It does away with those that got saved out in the denomination. Because unless he's born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. But he's not talking about gates and streets and roofs and walls. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what Brother Branham said. The kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. Questions and Answers, 1959. Now, you couldn't see the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. Now, he's talking about what Jesus just said here to Nicodemus. He said, no man can see the kingdom unless he be born again.
Right.
He says, now, you couldn't see the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. Some standing here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom coming in power. I know I scared some of you earlier, but here he said it. Did that relax you a little bit? Some standing here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom coming in power. He said, then the kingdom of God, the Bible said, is within you. It's within you, the Holy Spirit, and you can't see that with your eyes. So see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looking right at it, and say, well, I just don't see it? See, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it, see? You don't understand it. To see is to understand. But with your eyes, you look at anything. But with what's on the inside of you, you understand with, you see with that, see? With the eyes of God, you look. Again, to whom shall we go? 1960. The kingdom of God's within you. So you couldn't actually see it lest you see it operating.
Amen.
So we can see the kingdom of God, but we can't see the, we don't see the chemicals and the chemistry and all of the attributes of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. If I asked you, you know, I won't do it this morning, but if I asked you how many of you had the Holy Ghost and, you know, maybe 70% of you raised your hand, bless God, I've got it, I would say, well, show it to me. You say you got it? Show it to me. Where's it at? You'd say, well, down on the inside of me. Oh, no, I've got to have more proof than that. I got to see it. You know, that's how people are today. They got to see it. Well, Brother Bam said, seeing is not believing. In fact, we'll look at it Wednesday night with the help of the Lord. He said, you're seeing. I know we've been taught not to, you know, that we don't feel it. You know, Jesus said, well, he said, Brother Bam said, Jesus never said, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? But that's one side of it. But we're going to look a little bit more what he said on Wednesday night. But he said, you're seeing will actually betray you before your feeling will. Because you could see something and it be a mirage, or you, some of these magicians go out here and they make it look like, you know, the Empire State Building disappeared. But I guarantee you, if you walked up and tapped on it, it would be there. They didn't physically move it somewhere else. It's tricks with smokes and mirrors and things. But it's still there, but you don't see it. So seeing isn't believing. Brother Bram said, you know, none of these five natural senses, he talks about, you know, he'll have a man come up and Brother Hoover, I'll just use you. Come up here a minute. He likes to pick on everybody else, so I'll pick on him a little bit this morning. He said, now, just come right up here. He said, now, he uses usually an usher or something. He said, now I see him. He's wearing a kind of charcoal and black suit, and he's standing here. He said, now, he said, could anybody tell me that he's not here? And he said, but now, he said, now I can't see him. But he said, you couldn't tell me that he's moved. You couldn't tell me that he's gone. He said, why? He said, because I still feel him. The sense of feel tells me that he's here. Now, if he were to go over to the piano and play a little bit, I couldn't maybe see the notes of the music. I couldn't smell the notes of the music. Thank you, brother. I couldn't taste the notes of the music. Say, oh, my, that's C sharp. Oh, my, that tastes good. No, you can't taste it. But you can hear it.
Amen.
Your senses declare it, but your senses can fool you. You know, if you don't believe it, just ask some of these guys that, you know, they go out and kill people and things, tell them, they say, you know, well, a voice in my head told me. Well, nobody else heard the voice. And maybe it was. Maybe the devil was talking to him. But I think most of the time it's just their imagination. They get so worked up in some of this stuff, watching horror movies and getting into all this stuff, that they let that spirit begin to get on them and they begin to do things that's absolutely insane. It's just to prove what the prophet said, that they would be insane in this age. And you look around and you see them just in Las Vegas going in, a man killing, you know, dozens of people. And all that takes place, it's insanity in this age.
Right.
He says, the kingdom of God's within you, so you couldn't actually see it lest you see it operating. So the kingdom of God is not without, the kingdom of God is without observation. You can't see the Holy Ghost, but you can see it operating. Amen.
Amen.
You say, oh my, you know, this stuff about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. How can you prove it to me? Can you show me a resurrected body? Can you prove to me that he raised from the dead? Yes, I can. How? You've never seen a nail-scarred body? You never shook his hand? You never had him come up and put his hand up on your shoulder? Well, in one way I haven't, and in another way I have.
Right.
I've seen it in operation.
Amen.
I've seen him do things that you can't explain away. I've seen him heal people that doctors gave up on. I've seen him move in ways upon people who said, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. But the Holy Spirit move upon him, and I've seen it in operation.
Amen.
Hey, man, we saw it in operation Wednesday night. Many people came to church and planned on doing some of the things that they did Wednesday night, but the Holy Spirit came and was in operation.
Amen.
That scares some people, but to me, I just say, thank you, Lord. You're proving again that you're still the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And we see you not just on the pages of our Bible. We see you not just in the pages of the Message. We see you not just as a baby in a manger or as a man hung on a cross, but we see the risen Jesus Christ, the proof of his resurrection. We see it in our midst. Because I can't heal anybody, but we've had a lot of people healed here. I can't save anybody, but we've had a lot of people saved here. I can't fill anybody with the Holy Ghost, but we've had many that was filled with the Holy Ghost. How can I explain that other than a risen Lord Jesus Christ? The kingdom of God is within you, so you couldn't actually see it unless you see it operating. But the only way you'll ever be able to understand it, you've got to be born again. Jesus didn't contradict himself when he said there'd be those that would just give a cup of water to the bride, and then he'd turn around and say, those, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. You can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. Because Brother Bram said it's the same birth. It's not two different. You don't get born again, then get the Holy Ghost, or get the Holy Ghost and then get born again. He said it was one coming of the Spirit. So how could you understand what it means to be born again? How could you understand what the Holy Ghost is unless you were born again? How could you? The Bible says that no man can even profess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God unless the Holy Spirit tells him. You say, oh, yes, I can. Well, the devil can verbally, but he doesn't really know that. He's just going off of what he's seen others do and what he's heard taught, just like many do today. Any little child that's old enough to talk, you can teach them to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they're just repeating something they heard somebody else said. A lot of message people, they're just repeating something they heard Brother Branham said or something they heard their pastor say. But until it becomes a living experience down on the inside of them, they're just quoting what somebody else said. They're quoting what mommy said or what daddy said. And maybe they even intellectually receive that and think that it's true, but they can't truly understand how that he's the Son of God and all these different things. They can't understand it until they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because he's the one that teaches us in the first place. Amen. Matthew chapter 11 verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, did he not believe that John was going to be in walking on those streets of gold and walking through those pearly gates? That he would say, this man was the greatest born among women, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Now, I thought he was going to be there, Brother Layton. I thought when we got over there, old John would be there. That's right. But John was beheaded before the day of Pentecost. And all of John's efforts, even though he was the first forerunner of Jesus Christ at his first coming, even though he was the angel of the covenant, even though Jesus said he was the greatest man that had been born among women, he said, but there's a group coming in a few days. There's a group coming in a few days that when the kingdom of God isn't just something that they talk about 10 million miles away, but when the kingdom of God literally physically comes, he said, oh, I anointed John on the outside, but now I'm coming to live on the inside.
Amen.
I anointed John to do what he did. He was the greatest man. He was greater than David. He was greater than Moses because he was the angel of the covenant. And I anointed him to introduce my first coming. But I couldn't fully give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it hadn't come yet. You say, John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Brother Branham said they had it in type. He said Adam had it in type. But the Holy Ghost hadn't fully come till the day of Pentecost. And when it came like a mighty rushing wind, John, all of his efforts, he could never be a Paul. But yet Jesus said he was the greatest born among women, but there's a kingdom of God that's coming. He wasn't talking about pillars and posts, and he wasn't talking about stucco, and he wasn't talking about windows and paint, and he wasn't talking about drywall. The kingdom of God is within you. You know, I've looked at some of these things all my life, Brother Hoover, and I had all the pieces, I just hadn't put them together. How could John be the greatest born among women, but yet the least in the kingdom of God? Wasn't John in the kingdom of God? Well, he was in heaven, but the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes. All right.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Brother Branham said Noah died drunk. He not going to be there? Brother Branham said Solomon died backslid. He not going to be there? Depends on what you're talking about, the kingdom of God. You talking about gates of pearl, or are you talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, even if he's talking about streets of gold, I want to turn, this wasn't part of the notes, but let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. I was looking at this, and I've heard this taught for years, that, you know, somebody dies backslid, or, you know, somebody does this or does that, no chance for them. Brother Branham taught that Brother Ramsey died backslid. He said God took him home. Didn't say he sent him to hell. A lot of you get worried about your loved ones, but grace, grace, cried the capstone. Now, I don't want to get in on the skin of my teeth, but I believe there will be some that get there, that get by on the skin of their teeth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I'm looking for Galatians chapter 4, I think. One book earlier. Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. The heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Let's go down to verse 5. Or let's start at verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, Brother Branham teaches us adoption. He said, now they were sons all along, but they couldn't have an inheritance until they were adopted. Amen. Thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. People translate that a lot of times as enter, but he didn't say that. He said inherit. You can be a son and never get an inheritance. You can be a son and never get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's many sons and daughters of God that were saved that never went on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And people say, well, brother so-and-so lied. He's not going to heaven because the Bible said no liar will be there. Well, you better have a little bit more grace than that if you want to be there. Amen. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They had already entered the kingdom. They had already inherited the kingdom. He wasn't talking about pearl and gold. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. He doesn't have the inheritance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or he wouldn't be doing those things. Galatians 5 verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Moses was a murderer, wasn't he? Does that mean he's not going to be there? He didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, though, did he? Galatians 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. What's he talking about? The kingdom of God, not just away some million miles somewhere. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to do away and say that we won't go to heaven and there won't be a physical place that we live in throughout eternity. I'm not saying that. I'm saying many times we've read these verses wrong and it's looked like a contradiction, and it absolutely has not been, but we just didn't have the key to unlock the door. Christ being formed in you, what he's talking about, the kingdom of God in you. Faith is the substance, 1951. The love of God is like a notary public, takes a seal and presses it until the inscription of that seal is pressed in the paper over the signature. Oh my. And when Christ signs your name on the book of life and the Holy Spirit presses it in there until the life of Christ is formed in you, he said, hallelujah, becomes deity. The kingdom of God in you. Now, when you go to a notary public, you've got some official document that they need to notarize, and they go there and they went to whatever, you know, certification that they've had to have. And when they did that, they received a seal. And it's got the, you know, the state symbol on it. And it's got the information about them and maybe their clerk number and things like that or whatever it would be. And when they press that down upon the paper, the very form or the very image that was on that seal of the notary republic, the paper begins to be formed into that image. And he said, that's what Christ did. He began to press himself down upon you. And maybe you was just a flat piece of paper. And maybe you didn't have anything good to say about anybody. But then the seal of God began to press down upon you. And it began to change the way that you were. It began to mold you and to make you and to change you into something that you never were and maybe that you thought you'd never be, but it changed you. And it didn't, you know, one notary public doesn't, you know, press his seal down and then lift it up and be like, oh my goodness, that's not my seal at all. That's somebody over here in another county seal. How did that get there? No. Once that seal is pressed down, it's going to replicate exactly what was on the seal on the paper. They're not going to press it down and it be something else. So you can't say that you've got the Holy Ghost and go live something contrary to what the Holy Ghost would do. Right. That don't mean we won't make mistakes. But the Holy Spirit will convict you and bring you back and say, wait a minute, that's contrary to this pattern in your life. Images of Christ, 1959. To be a Christian means to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want to be living images. Not pack an image, but be an image of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It didn't just come in word on the day of Pentecost. Now it did. It was promised in word. But if it had stayed in word, it would have never produced anything, but it came in power.
Amen.
Jesus had been promised for 800 years, a virgin shall conceive. But if it had just stayed in word form, it would have never produced anything, but it came in power there in Bethlehem. There's something about it when the word begins to be produced. If we just leave it back somewhere for some other day, it has no power. It's just word. You know, Muhammad claimed that he would raise again from the grave, but he hasn't done it yet. It was just words. But when Jesus said it, when he said it's finished, when he said I'll come back, its corruption won't set in. Within 3 days, I'll raise up this temple. It wasn't just words. It didn't just lay there in word form, but it came back in power of resurrection.
Amen.
When it came on the day of Pentecost, he had promised it. He said, go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Power. And they went up there and they could have discussed it and debated it all they want. But until it came in power, it was just words.
Amen.
But I want to say to the devil this morning, we had a prophet in this age that he came with the word, but it wasn't word only. It came with power, with signs and wonders following, with a vindication to back up that what he said wasn't just words, but there was a manifestation that came along with it. The deity of Jesus Christ, 1949, that same power that spoke the world into existence is in those people that's got the Holy Ghost. That's right. I know you just listened to this a couple Sunday nights ago, but we're going to read it. Men and women, it's time that we found out who you are. The devil's trying to hide you back, tell you that you're some little trod down something. He says you're not. You're sons and daughters of God. The deity is not in heaven. It's in you.
Amen.
The kingdom of heaven isn't a million miles away waiting on a cloud somewhere.
No.
It's in you.
Amen.
He says, hallelujah. He said the kingdom of God will be within you. So therefore, the legions of powers and the backing of the holy angels, hallelujah, he says, is in you, was born into the deity of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir.
Amen.
So when Satan comes to you and tells you you'll never make it into the kingdom, you tell him, I am the kingdom. The kingdom dwells in me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to dwell in the kingdom, but the kingdom's already dwelling in me.
Amen.
I don't have to wait to go off somewhere. It's already here in me.
Amen.
Amen. I'll fly away, oh glory. Amen. I already took a flight. Amen. I believe we'll take a physical one someday too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to do away with the rapture. I'm not trying to do away with the resurrection. But Paul said we have the down payment. Yes.
Right.
He didn't use that word, but that's what Brother Branham called it. He said it was the down payment.
Right.
The down payment. What is it? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't have to worry. Will I take a rapture? If I die before, will I take a resurrection? I am the resurrection.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Right.
And then Brother Branham said, all that was Christ was, he poured into the church.
Amen.
He said, you are the rapture.
Right.
Talk about a mystery.
Amen.
You are the rapture. I thought we were waiting for the rapture. Well, I am, but I've already got what I need to take me there.
Amen.
I got my ticket in my hand. Amen. The seal has already been sealed on the paper, Brother Hoover. It's already been stamped into the image of God. I'm not waiting for, Lord, help me to, I want to make it. I don't want to miss it. I can't miss it.
Right.
I can't miss it. He's already gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen. It's a non-refundable ticket.
Hallelujah.
It's not exchangeable. Brother Hoover can't get it and say, well, I'm not going to go, but I'll let Sister Jeannie go. You can't exchange it. You can't give it to somebody else. You can't trade it with somebody else. You can't say, no, I decided I don't want to go on this ride. It's a non-refundable, non-exchangeable ticket. And he's already placed it down on the inside of you. Satan will get you to fear, oh, what if I miss it? If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you won't.
Amen.
We're waiting for the kingdom, but the kingdom's already in us.
Amen.
The deity of Jesus Christ, 49. Who are you this morning? Who is Christ Jesus? He's in you as much as you'll let him be.
Amen.
I want to say that to some of these young people or middle-aged or old or whatever you are, if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's in you as much as you'll let him be. The problem is many times we don't know how to yield, and we still want to hold on to all this of the world and all this of our personality, and we've got all this luggage trying to drag it along, and we ain't got no room for Jesus. Oh, I want him to come, but I can't give up this. I want him to sanctify me, but I can't give up my cigarettes. I want him to fill me, but I don't know if I can give up these drugs. I want him to do this, but I don't know if I can give up that. What is it? He can be in you as much as you'll let him be in you. But Brother Bam said it's like a glass. And he said when God picks it up and he cleans it up and he sets it aside for service, but many of us it's still full of rocks and mud and dirt and stuff. How can he pick it up and use it when it's already full of something else?
Come on.
We've got to empty out all these things. Our personality, our opinion, our ideas, our pride. Empty that up. Let him be in you.
Right.
He's in you as much as you'll let him be. He's pressing, trying to get into you. We beat our heads against the wall sometimes. Oh, Lord, I went to the altar and I prayed. I did this. I've done that. Oh, why haven't I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He's pressing.
Right.
He's trying to get in you.
Yes.
It's not that he doesn't want to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many times it's that you just haven't turned loose of the things that's already got you so filled. He doesn't have no room to move in.
All right.
He says he's in you as much as you'll let him be. He's pressing. Trying to get into you, to move into you today. And you stand off and wonder and look and gaze and hold back a little while. Don't do that. Move right straight into the kingdom of God.
Right.
The hour is here. He says, hallelujah. The unity of one God in one church, 1958. God's kingdom is in our hearts. It's the spiritual kingdom that we're born into it. Jesus said the kingdom of God comes, but not without violence, and the kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Spirit, God's kingdom, moving in the man and governing and controlling him. That's the kingdom.
Amen.
Oh my. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. I believe, you know, We look for these things. We look for the coming of the Lord. We look for a body change. We look for, you know, to go into that city where there's no sickness, where there's no death, where there's no sorrow. But if you're not careful, Brother Branham said the trick of the enemy, the greatest trick that he ever had, was to get you to look back to what has been and to look way off forward in the future some way, waiting on something that's to come and failing to miss what God's doing right now. We're waiting on, oh God, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to be a part of this. I want to be over there. But we forget that the kingdom of God is right in us already.
Amen.
What are we doing with that? Are we leaving it just set stagnant? Are we trying to drag the kingdom of God places that the kingdom of God has no place being? Brother Branham, I read a quote the other day. He said he was trying to witness to a man at a garage where they were working on some cars. And he was trying to witness to an old sinner boy there. And he said, you know, my mother, she prayed for me that I'd get saved. And Brother Bram said, God's trying to answer her prayers right now. And he said he'd go down on his lunch hour and get a sandwich and try to witness to somebody and see if he could get him saved. And he said the man that owned the garage came in there. And he said he was drunk. And he said, Billy, he said, you're welcome here anytime you want. But he said, don't bring that Holy Ghost with you. He said, anywhere he's not welcome, I'll not be.
Right.
But we try to drag the kingdom around with us to this event and that event. The Holy Ghost isn't welcome, but we try to force our way in there. You're not going to be able to fit the kingdom of God somewhere where it's not welcome.
Amen.
Where he's not welcome, I'll not be. Oh my, what an example. The kingdom of God within us clears up a lot of questions. Clears up a lot of things that look like a contradiction. But the Holy Spirit, when he has the key and he puts it in the door and turns it, there's no contradiction. There's no error. There's no confusion. He opens up the door and says, come, look what I have for you. I've got all kinds of revelation. I got healing. I got power. I got wisdom. I got knowledge. Brother Bram said it's like a great smorgasbord that we go to. And we just look up and we pick what we want. Oh, some of this and some of that. I think Brother Layton preached on it one time. God's great mall that he's got. And he goes in and he clothes you and he feeds you. And he's got everything that we have need of. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. Brother Branham said when he gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you everything you needed for the journey.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come. He's in you as much as you'll let him be in you, Brother Branham said. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder how many would slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I'm so thankful that I'm a part of that kingdom. I'm so thankful that he's placed me in this kingdom. I sought and I sought and I sought. And I realized one day it wasn't me seeking, it was him that was seeking me. I'm so thankful that he's brought me and made me a part of this kingdom. I didn't deserve it. There was nothing I could do to inherit it. All that I had was just filthy rags in his sight, but he called me to be a part of his kingdom. We're blessed this morning to be called to the kingdom. Wonder if there's any that slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I've done all that I know how to do. I've prayed, I've sought, I've looked. There's something about it. I don't have that assurance that I'm fully in the kingdom the way that you talked about this morning. I believe the word and I believe God sent a prophet. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but there's just something about it. I don't have that assurance that I'm fully in the kingdom the way that I'd like to be. I don't have that assurance that all is well in my soul. I'm going to slip up my hand this morning and say, God, help me. I want to make sure that I'm a part of this kingdom that Brother Nathan talked about this morning. I want to be sure that with everything that within me, that I'm filled as much as God can fill me, that he's pressed into me as much as that he can press into me, and that there's nothing else holding me back, that there's not things of myself that he's tried to press into me, his image, but there were little rough edges that hindered me. There were little places in my life that I couldn't give up this and I couldn't give up that. I want him to come and take complete control and fill me so completely with his spirit to where I know I'm a part of that kingdom. Oh, God sees the hands. God sees the hands. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we lift our hands up to you this morning just to praise you and to worship you and to thank you for your word. Lord, to recognize that, Lord, we're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God, but yet many times we fail to recognize that there's already a part of your kingdom that's right on the inside of us. It's not something that we point somebody to. There's not a church. There's not an address. There's not a doctrine that we can point them to and say, this is it. That low, it's here. Low, it's there. But that the kingdom of God It's not so much with observation. We don't have a sign that says that we're filled. We don't have a business card that says I'm a Holy Ghost filled member of the bride. It's not with observation. But the only way that we can observe it is when we see it working, when we see the Holy Spirit, the attributes of it, when we see it being manifested. Oh, Lord, may you move in our midst, Lord Jesus. Lord, many had their hands up. Some of them just want to be sure that they're part of that kingdom. Some of them have maybe never really fully accepted you in the way that they did this morning, Lord, to just say, Lord, I want you to come in. Take away everything that would hinder me being a part of that kingdom. Fill me so completely, seal me so completely, Lord. I want to know, as Brother Bam talked about the black brother that said, I don't want no trouble when I come down to the river. But Lord, we want to have our ticket in our hand. When the marking angel comes down and sets a seal on those that are filled and those that are not, Lord, we want to be able to produce our ticket and say, I'm sealed. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. Jesus Christ already paid the price, and I accepted what he did for me. He gave the key to Peter, to this great kingdom that I'm spiritually part of. And I put that key in the door, and I accepted it just the way that Peter taught me to. And the key turned, and the door opened. Jesus said, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Oh, Lord, many, maybe they just need a place to put their foot. Maybe they've accepted you, and maybe they've been filled. Maybe they've seen that change of direction that we talked about today, but Satan has beat them over the head because they haven't been able to point him to a date or to a time or to a specific experience that was when they knew that they knew that they knew. Father, may they drive down a stake today and may they point Satan back and say, Satan, from this day forth, I know I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know in whom I have believed. And I know what he came and did in my life. I know it changed me from that vile creature that I used to be. I know that there's been a change. I know that there's been a change at my address. I know that there's been a change in my life. I know that the Nathan Bryant that I used to be, I'm no longer him. Oh, Lord, I know I'm not what I ought to be. And I know I'm not what I want to be, but I thank you so much, Lord, that I'm not who I used to be. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your changing power to change lives, to strengthen people, to encourage them, Father, to lead them and to guide them each step of the way. Oh, Lord, help us to be so sure that we're part of the kingdom that all the demons in hell couldn't shake us or turn us or move us from it. Help us to have that type of revelation in our life that, Lord, we know that we know that we know what you did for us. We know that it's a finished work. We know that, Lord, you came and put the seal upon our life. Said, this one's mine. This one's mine. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, I've placed them in the kingdom. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that blessed assurance. Lord, if there's any that doesn't have it, Lord, may today be the day that they receive it and say, Father, I'm coming into your kingdom. I've tried to make my own kingdom down here on earth. I've tried to have it my way. I've tried to do this. I've tried to accomplish that. I've tried to have my plans. But Lord, I lay my plans at your feet, Lord. I don't want to build my own kingdom. I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want your kingdom to come and live on the inside of me. I want you to lead my decisions. I want you to guide my decisions. Grant it, Father, we pray. Lord, may the Holy Spirit do such a mighty work in lives that Satan would never be able to shake him from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The strength of all my comfort, Lord, you mean more than
What you read online, amen. I was going to say, I didn't remember you saying what it was, but Brother Layton laid a note up here. He said what he was referring to, that the gentleman was trying to say online. He said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that is what I was speaking of before the psalm. That's what he was reading about in search. What was it, 300 quotes? Amen. Hopefully what I said went right along with those 300 quotes. Amen. Praise God. When was that, Brother Layton, that you were reading that? All right. It was mainly Saturday that the Lord just really swung me the different direction. So he's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. He knows what we have need of. Amen. God's good. I love it when he does that. I appreciate Brother Layton sharing that. You know, I'm not a prophet. I don't know sometimes what God's doing unless somebody tells me. So that was for me. You don't know. I had a brother come up and tell me the other day. He said, we're not the only family that says this, which they're not, but I have certainly appreciated it. He said, sometimes you get to preach on things that we just talked about at the dining room table before we came to church. Amen. That's not me. Amen. I don't know what you talked about at the dinner table. If Brother Branham was here, he could tell you. Now, Brother so-and-so, Brother Daryl and Sister Angela, they said this morning at the breakfast table, and this is for them. He could do that. I can't do that. I'm not a prophet. But the Word of God is still a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Holy Spirit can take a line of thought that maybe a man's studying and turn it completely around and get him off into a channel. And you say, that was for me. That was for me. Maybe Brother Layton and Brother Hoover, I was scratching our heads saying, well, I don't know. As Brother Layton quoted me the other day, he said, well, I don't know who that was for, but whoever it was for, praise God. You know, sometimes we don't know. We don't know who it was for, but God doesn't do anything haphazardly. Amen. He's on time. Amen. He's right on time. Let's sing this together this morning. Amen. I just had this on my heart as Brother Joshua was playing that. Let's sing this together. Let's try E flat. Brother Hoover can help me that way. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad. Are you glad this morning? Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. Church, I'm so happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, and if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Lord? Oh, aren't you?
And I say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. We're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, well, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go. Oh, well, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I heard. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. When I heard a voice up in heaven say, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, preach your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down.